السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, the surah of the Quran Sharif which I recited, it is a surah which little children have also memorized at the madrasas and the maktabs, and also many of you are familiar with the incident that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned in this surah. It is something that is discussed quite often, and especially those who go to Makkah Mukarrama, then along the line, somewhere in the discussion of the Kaaba Sharif, this incident is mentioned about how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protected the Kaaba Sharif from the attack that was planned on the Kaaba Sharif by Abraha and his forces. Since we are relating most of the things at present to the conditions which are prevalent in the world, and especially the attack which is taking place on Afghanistan for the past 18 or 19 days, relentless bombing, merciless bombing. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing these enemy forces that if Allah Ta'ala is with, if Allah Ta'ala is of, Allah Ta'ala's ma'iyat is, if someone has got, then no matter what the enemies may plan, but Allah Ta'ala can cause their plans to go astray. Their plan was that within 3 days they will wipe out the Taliban, Afghanistan will be flattened, and they will install a new government. They had already declared the supremacy of their air power within a few days. But after so many days, still they haven't shaken up the Taliban's defenses. This is nothing but the qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the assistance of Allah ta'ala. As I mentioned last night, that the facts which came through of those four people which have become shaheed from the Harkatul Mujahideen, although the Pakistani borders were closed and they had to go above the mountains because the family had requested that those bodies be brought over to Pakistan, but from their blood there was such fragrance. After 72 hours there was still fresh blood flowing from their bodies, and thousands of people are witness to this, and they are all from Pakistan. And it's not an old incident, it's a very very recent one, just yesterday, that there are so many witnesses to that, that there was such fragrance from their blood of one or two of those shaheeds that it was definitely not the fragrance of this world. And where did we hear of fragrance in blood? So it is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help and nusrat being with them. However, I've repeatedly mentioned in my past few bayans, the recent bayans, that Allah Ta'ala creates certain conditions and we become very restless and excited and full of anxiety and worries at times. But as long as the ummah has got iman, has got yaqeen, and has got amal-e-saliha with them, then In all conditions they are successful. If somebody becomes a shaheed too, he is successful. And if the person returns as a ghazi too, he is successful. So in this surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses this force of Abraha and how it was destroyed. We cannot go into all the details, but just to refreshen our minds and to just recall this incident so that it gives us a lot of courage and himmat, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about the people or the companions of the elephant. Allah ta'ala says, Alam tara kaifa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Did you not see what Allah ta'ala did to the companions of the elephant? Now this incident took place about 50 days before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just about 50 days before his birth. So he could not have seen the incident with his own eye. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born about 50 days after this incident. So he could not have seen it with his own eyes. But Allah ta'ala says, Alam tara kaifa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, to show how true and how authentic and how reliable this incident is. And of course, just 50 days prior to his birth meant that after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became 8 years of age or 10 years of age or 15 years of age, then there would have been still so many people at that time living who witnessed this incident with their own eyes. And it was there to remind the Quraysh of Makkah that just as you have seen with your own eyes how Allah ta'ala sent the birds and destroyed these people who had come to destroy the Kaaba Sharif. The Kaaba Sharif is a creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala because of Allah ta'ala wanting to send Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world. If Allah ta'ala had not decided on sending Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mankind, then there would have been no Kaaba, there would have been no Qibla, as you heard many times. Na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Gar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. So Kaaba Sharif, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have protected with the ababil, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got his qudrat, he has got his might, he has got his power to protect Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on account of whom Allah ta'ala brought into existence the whole universe. So if you are going to oppose him when he is going to proclaim prophethood and nubuwat, then you must not think that you will be successful and you will be victorious. Outwardly there may be some kind of a victory for a little period of time, but it will be just on the surface of it. But in reality, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be successful. He will be victorious and he will conquer and rule above these lands. So straight away they were given that warning. Nevertheless, so Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that, did you not see how what Allah ta'ala did to the companions of the elephant, how he dealt with the people of the elephant? This, how Allah ta'ala dealt with them, did you see? Now what was it? It was Abraha. He was appointed the governor of Yemen. Now at that time, we know the two major blocks. It was the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. Constantine the First, when he accepted Christianity, then he declared Christianity to be the state religion. And people were then persecuted, they were tortured, there was forced conversions, and we all know the history that goes with it. But he declared it to be the state religion. Now being a state religion, so throughout the empire, the effects of this religion were being felt. Over those areas, those countries, those places over which the Roman Empire had control, so the effects of this religion also spread there. So much so that Syria, Yemen, parts of Africa, and especially Ethiopia, the present day Ethiopia, all these areas were affected. So this Abraha was appointed as the governor of Yemen by Najashi. He was appointed by the governor of Yemen. So he saw that the people of Yemen, they are going to Arabia all the time. They are going to Makkah Mukarramah all the time. And of course, the Roman Empire, Heraclius was the head, he had also, and Constantine at this particular moment and juncture, he had allowed the Arabs to trade freely now. And this trade was not because he had great love for them, but he wanted to win them over so that they do not turn towards the Persians. But it's a long history, to cut it short. Now this Abraha, when he saw that these Yamanis, and that they are going all the time to Kaaba Sharif, and they are making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, and the Arabs from other lands too, they are going to Kaaba Sharif to make tawaf. Because although they had not yet accepted Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had not yet proclaimed any prophethood or nubuwat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not even born as yet. He was only born about 50 days after this incident. But the Kaaba Sharif was respected by even the Quraysh of Makkah, although they were mushrikeen, but they still respected the Kaaba Sharif. They used to make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. They used to make dua at the Kaaba Sharif in their own way. Therefore it is declared that at that time, whoever believed in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, as long as he believed in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, then he will get salvation. Because there was no prophet at that time to really guide them, so they had to believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. To look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, the earth, the waters of the ocean, their own bodies, the creation of Allah Ta'ala around them, and to recognize that there is some creator of the heavens and the earth, and that is one Allah. Then that was sufficient for them. So amongst them was Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these people all respected the Kaaba Sharif. So Abraha, he did not want these people to go to the Kaaba Sharif. So he decided to build a very, very beautiful church in Yemen. So he built a beautiful church, massive. He decorated it with gold, with silver, with diamonds and with pearls and anything that you can think of. He made it really very, very attractive, so that these people, when they will go to Makkah Sharif, they will look at the Kaaba Sharif and say that this Kaaba Sharif is just a little block. The stones also are cheap and there is no real beauty in it outwardly. Therefore we must now go and do what Abraha is asking us to do, and that is to make tawaf of his church, the tawaf of his Kaaba which he built. He called it his Kaaba. So he wanted them to come and make tawaf there. And he passed this message around that now nobody will be allowed to go to Makkah Sharif. They must remain here and they must make the tawaf here. Now outwardly he thought he had a very good plan. But they did not know that the Kaaba Sharif was not the stones. It was the tajalli of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is cast in that ground, that piece of ground. And those stones have got their significance because of being part of that area which we term as the Kaaba Sharif. Otherwise, if the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala is not there, then it will have no real value at all. But even if the Kaaba Sharif does not have any covering over it, there's no ghilaf over it, then too, the people who have got hearts, they can see the noor in that block. No matter how beautiful a building you can build somewhere else, but that noor and of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tajalli, where can they get that? So that nuraniyat and ruhaniyat that is there, that nobody can take anywhere else. So the Arabs refused to go and make tawaf of his church. And in fact, one late night, we don't say that what he did was right, but they were not Muslims, they had not accepted Islam, they were still from the pre-Islamic era. So one person went into that church and he soiled the church. He made a mess in the church, and then he ran away from there and came back to Makkah Sharif. And then also some Arabs had lit up some fires around there. The wind blew that fire and part of it caught on fire. So Abraha became very furious. Now here is again that intoxication of power. That intoxication of power, that he said that now I'm going to make sure that I'm going to destroy that Kaaba, because they refuse to listen to me, they refuse to respect this Kaaba of mine, and they refuse to make tawaf here, yet mine was more attractive and more beautiful than that Kaaba that they have in Makkah Sharif. So he set out with an army. And along the line, the tribes that came in defense of the Kaaba Sharif, he destroyed them. So he got more strength and more power. Now again, if we have to look at what is happening, that here along the line, those tribes that were there, when they came into defense of the Kaaba Sharif, then because they were small in number and he had a huge army, and also there were 13 huge elephants that were with. The Arabs had not seen elephants before, so they thought the moment these people come with, the moment I'm going to go with these elephants and the Arabs are going to see the elephants, then they're going to raise their hand and we are going to destroy the Kaaba and return. So along the line, those tribes that tried to defend, they said that we are not going to allow you to go and destroy the Kaaba Sharif. So he destroyed them, he flattened them, and he kept on progressing and moving until he came to an area just a little outside Makkah Sharif. When he came and camped there, then from there he sent a message. He sent a message to the Meccans, the leader of whom at that time was Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he sent this message that, O you people of Makkah, we are not your enemies. I'm going to give you in that same language, that we are not your enemies. We haven't come to fight against you. We do not want to destroy you. Our fight is not with the Meccans. We have come here to destroy the Kaaba Sharif. If you do not put up resistance, then we will destroy the Kaaba and leave. But if you put up resistance, then we will destroy each and every one of you. Now this was the message that he conveyed. Now this is what we mean by that intoxication of power. Now he thought that he flattened the people along the route and he was victorious, so therefore there is nothing but success for him and victory for him. So when he sent this message with Hanata Himyari, Hanata Himyari came and conveyed it to Hazrat Abu Talib, Abdul Muttalib. Hazrat Abdul Muttalib gave a very simple and straightforward reply. He said that the forces with which he has come, even if all our Arabs get together, we will not be able to fight and we will not be able to defend and protect the holy Kaaba. So go and inform him that as far as I am concerned, the Kaabatullah is Baytullah. It is the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is Allah Ta'ala's house and his Khalil built this house. So Allah Ta'ala will protect his house if he wants to protect, and if he does not protect, then that is his will. But it is his house built by his Khalil, his friend, and Allah Ta'ala, it is in his power, he can protect that house. Now there was wisdom in what he said. Of course we are talking about pre-Islamic times. As yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not even born. So he said that convey this message. So Anata Imyari said, no, you come with me and I will introduce you to him and you discuss with him whatever you have to. Now when Hazrat Abdul Muttalib came over to discuss with Abraha, now Abraha, what he had done is when he camped outside Makkah Sharif, he told his people that go around and in all the stables, whatever animals you find, raid them and bring them away. So amongst those animals were 200 camels also of Abdul Muttalib, which they raided and they brought over. Now when Hazrat Abdul Muttalib came to discuss with Abraha, so Abraha saw his stature, saw his personality, saw his figure, saw that great countenance of his. Allah Ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Abdul Muttalib with a great personality. So when he looked at him, he himself was overawed and he stepped down from his throne and he made him sit together. And then he started discussing and he said, let's negotiate. In other words, let's negotiate that you do not come into opposition and let us go in and destroy the Kaaba Sharif. So the surprising thing was that Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, instead of discussing the Kaaba Sharif, what he said that the Kaaba Sharif belongs to Allah Ta'ala, it is his house, he will protect it. I am interested in my 200 camels. Return my 200 camels. So he said, I thought that you were a great leader of the Meccans and you were so concerned about the Kaaba Sharif, and here you're not even talking about the Kaaba Sharif, he didn't even mention it, and you are concerned about your 200 camels. What is 200 camels in comparison with the Kaaba Sharif? He said the same thing. He said that the Kaaba Sharif is Allah Ta'ala's house, he will protect, I want my 200 camels. So Abraha thought that he is a foolish person, so he gave him the 200 camels, and you take your 200 camels and go. So he came back with the 200 camels and he slaughtered, sacrificed all those 200 camels in the name of Allah. He was a muwahid, it means that he was a muwahid. He sacrificed it in the name of Allah. Then he asked his people to go away towards the mountain tops. Makkah Sharif, you have seen there are so many mountains around there. He said, you all go away to the mountain tops, make it empty. And then he took a few friends and a few people, pious according to their times, and he went to the door of the Kaaba Sharif. And then he prayed and he made dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The gist and the khulasa of which is this, that he said, O Allah, do not let the plans of these enemies of yours supersede your plans. Oh Allah, they have decided to come and destroy the Kaaba Sharif. They have destroyed, they have decided to imprison the neighbors of the Kaaba Sharif. He went on with his dua, pleading to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that, Oh Allah, you protect this house of yours from the plans and from the mischief and from the designs of these enemies of yours. He made a lot of dua and then they moved away from there. On this side he is making the dua, and on that side Abraha now is preparing to march forward. In the meantime, that one elephant of his, which was the leader of all the elephants, the name of that was Mahmud, and it was mighty animal, it was very strong. And why he brought those animals, why he brought those elephants, was that they were used in Yemen. If they had to demolish buildings, then they didn't have to use hammer and to demolish. They used to use these elephants. They used to tie the string, the chain round there and tie it round the building and pull, and the building comes down. So he thought that is exactly what he's going to do with the Kaaba Sharif. But when he started moving that animal towards the Kaaba Sharif, the animal just wouldn't get up. That animal Mahmud, that elephant, they would not get up. Now he was very surprised. They're beating it, they're moving it, they're trying to push it, but nothing is happening. It's flat. The moment he turns its face a little bit towards Syria or towards Yemen, the elephant gets up and wants to move in that direction. Now he was at a loss. And when that animal moves that way, then all the others want to move in that same direction too. But the moment he moves it towards the Kaaba Sharif, it goes flat on the ground and it doesn't want to move. Now this was Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and nusrat. And just then Allah Ta'ala sent those flocks of birds. And this is what Allah Ta'ala describes in this surah. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَظْلِيلٍ Did Allah Ta'ala make the treacherous plans of these people, of Abraha and his army? Did not Allah Ta'ala make the treacherous plan go astray? Did not Allah Ta'ala fail their plan? And how did he fail the plan? Because this flock of birds that came, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ And we sent against them flock of birds. And what were these birds doing? تَرُمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ These birds, they had three pebbles. One in their beak and two in their little feet. And they came over those enemies and that forces of Abraha. And when they let go those pebbles, then one went through the head of the person that was mounted on that elephant, and it went then through the animal, and that was the end of the person and the animal itself. And in the same way, so many others that were in the forces, the same thing happened. It brought about the destruction. Allah Ta'ala himself gives in it a very beautiful way. He says that what kind of destruction it was. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ تَرُمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ Firing these pebbles, Allah Ta'ala says, what kind of pebbles they were? Of baked clay. And then, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ He made them like a barren ground, like an open field. And what is in that open field? Stalks and straw, of which the corn has been eaten up. That means useless. Allah Ta'ala made them absolutely useless. Those few that remain together with Abraha, Allah Ta'ala caused them to suffer from such sickness and such disease, which spread like cancer through their body, that by the time Abraha reached Yemen again, there was nothing left on his body. The flesh kept falling off from his hands, from his face, from his feet, and he was left with nothing, and he came and died in Yemen. Allah Ta'ala showed this incident to the people of Makkah Sharif and gave them a very, very important lesson, that here, just as I protected my house from the evil design and the mischief of the enemies, those who had come to destroy my house, this is how I destroyed them. Then be careful, be warned, that if you are going to tackle my Nabi, if you are going to be in opposition to my Nabi, if you are going to think that you will be able to defeat my Nabi, then take a lesson from this incident. I have the power and the might and the qudrat to send the same kind of ababil against you too. Or I will bring you together in opposition to each other in the battle of Badr or in other places where you will be destroyed. And finally Allah Ta'ala will give conquest to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he will be the dominant one. So the lesson was already given to them. Now for us, we take a lesson from this, that these type of threats and everything will be in its place, and it will happen. It has happened right from that time, and it will continue until the day of Qiyamah. All that is required is for the believers and for the Muslim Ummah to have taqwa, to have trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and to defend Islam, not just by words and speeches, and not just by singing praises of Islam and the Quran, but by bringing Islam and the Quran Sharif into our lives. The Taliban are not fighting on the strength of their arms and ammunition and weapons. They don't even have an air force, they don't have a navy, they don't have anything really to be talked about. It is really baffling, it is surprising, it is something that is so convincing that even in these times when people do not want to believe in karamats and they do not want to believe of Allah Ta'ala's nusrat and help and madad, how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has caused these enemies to try their level best and struggle to bring the Taliban to their knees. What is it? It is that quwwat of iman that they have got. If it had been Saddam Hussein or anybody else, by now they would have raised their hands, and 400,000 of their troops, which were, had all the modern day technology, they would have given up. Why? Because they didn't have that kind of taqwa, they didn't have that kind of tawakkul in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore they were relying and trusting on their planes and on their weapons and everything else. But again I repeat that it is the duty of the Muslim Ummah to make use of the means and to prepare against the enemies just as they come with their forces, just as they come with the modern day technology and equipment, and just as they come with their air force and with their navies and with everything else, that it was the duty of the Muslim Ummah to also have such a kind of a navy and air force. But what do we do when the Muslim Ummah who has got it, and those countries which have got everything in their possession, when they become hypocrites and munafiqs, then of course we have nobody else to turn to but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala must either give them hidayat or Allah Ta'ala must topple them and replace them with governments who have got Islam in their hearts. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.